want to start a new series today. We're going to talk about matters of the mind. If you're taking notes, we're going to take the next 8 weeks and we're going to journey into matters of the mind. How many of you know our soul, our mind, will, and emotions are important? Amen. And how many of you know the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and what? Body. So spirit, soul, and body be what? Come on, preserve blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the realm that of the soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Amen. How many of you know that your soul is important? Amen. And how many of you know when we were born again, come on, as children of God, we received Jesus Christ and the life and the nature of God in our lives? Amen. And so our spirit became what? A new creation in Christ Jesus. And how many of you know, particularly in Word of Faith camp, we preach a lot in Pentecostal circles and Word of Faith and different areas of the church, we preach a lot on the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, living a life, come on, being led by the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know your soul is just as important? Amen. And so is your body. Amen. And how many of you know that it's easier when you have a what? Healthy soul. Amen. When it's removed of all the toxicity and things that plague our minds is removed. How many of you know that's a healthy soul? How many of you know a healthy soul rests? How many of you know a healthy soul takes vacations? How many of you know a healthy soul, amen, says no? Say this word after me. Say the word no. Ready? No. How many of you know it's okay to say no? How many of you know that's healthy? Amen. So I encourage you to be here every week if you can. You know, and if you miss it, we're just going to post these online. Know that. We record all our sessions. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about dealing with depression and finding hope. Say the word hope. Hope when all you see is hopelessness. Have you ever been in that place where you've experienced hopelessness? Go on, let's be transparent. A lot of us have lived a lot of life. We've lived in this world and we've experienced some hopelessness. But how many of you know the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ came into our life and the word of God and the knowledge of who God is to us, come on, and what he can do through us, that revelation came and what did it do? It changed, come on, the way that you think about yourself and the way you change, situations can change. How many of you know you can look at a situation and be like, there's just no way this is ever going to change. And then the word of the Lord comes forth from you, from another brother or sister in Christ, and it's revelation to you, and you study the word, and what happens? Come on, you have a Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You have a renewing, what? And a changing of the mind. Amen. And so the issues that we're dealing with in this generation and in our own lives are very real. Pains, problems, frustrations, torments, anxieties, these things are what? How many of you know right there what we just dealt with a few minutes ago? How many of you know there's some of us got a little bit lighter this morning? Amen. And so, again, we're not coming unto the Father just as what? A builder. I come unto the Father through my gift. I come unto the Father, come on, because yes, God has given you gifts, but we don't come unto the Father, right? Because of what we do. We come unto the Father because of what he did. Come on, and when we need our soul replenished and restored, how many of you know the Bible says that he does that? And in Psalm 91, the Bible has, he does what? He restores my soul. Amen. But it says something about what? Seeking him, walking with him, pursuing him. Amen. So how many of you know there's a pursuit? So I want to say this morning, if you're taking notes, I am not a psychologist, I'm not a licensed counselor, and I'm not a psychiatric doctor. But what I am is a pastor and a good shepherd who loves the flock of God and has a heart's desire to lead God's people to green grass. Come on. Cool. You ever been by cool, refreshing waters? You ever been like 900 degrees outside and you come up to the Smoky Mountains and you jump into the river? What happens with that? It's refreshing. What does it do? Come on. It replenishes you. When you grab your tube and you're down at Deep Creek in Bryson City, I was just hiking down there last week, and that's one of my goals in 2020 is to get out and do more physical activity, more hiking, more things. So I went and got my father and my dad, Danny, and we went hiking up Deep Creek. And how many know that was fun until we got to the top of Indian Falls, which is the end of, well, it's kind of like the end, more like the midway point, because the trails keep going. And so what happened was, is my father, I was sitting there watching how his countenance just changed when we went from stress like mine, or, you know, that stress on your face when you're walking uphill and you're breathing, and then you get to the top of and you see the waterfall, and you stop, and you breathe out, and you go, oh, and you hear the sounds of the water. Come on, you hear that waterfall crashing on the rocks. And what is that doing? Come on, it's replenishing. It's restoring your soul. Why do so many, do you know that the Great Smoky Mountains is one of the most visited national parks in America? Did y'all know that? Did you know there are people that travel from around the world? Come on, there's people that come from other countries of the world. Amen. And only in the mountains can we be in a church building where there are bugs that fly through the building while a pastor's preaching. Amen. But it's only in the Smoky Mountains do we see this. Amen. So, moving on. But see, my goal is to equip you, educate you, and direct you down a path to mental and emotional health. Amen. And so I'm not here to just throw information at you during the series, although there will be some information, but I'm believing God, amen, for revelation. How many of you know, even in your studies and as putting this together, that there's revelation? As you study, God begins to reveal things to you. But how many of you know when you pull on the gift of God, come on, that's in front of you. How many of you know when you have an expectation for the word and to hear from heaven, God's going to speak something supernatural to you. And I had a mentor say this many years ago. He said, many people will not remember your whole message, but they will remember one part of your message. Come on. So we're not looking for you to remember everything. If you have that kind of memory, praise the Lord. Extend your hand to me and pray for me. Amen. But the goal here is to equip. Amen. Say the word equip. Equip. There's people outside of this room that need to be equipped. Not just, so this series is not just for what? Say me. Amen. Point your finger at yourself and say me. It's not just for me, but it's point outside the walls of, point outside and say it's for them. Amen. So how many of you know when you're taking notes, you can take notes for you and digest it, but how many of you know this message and revelation is also for those that are out there in the world? Amen. They need to hear, come on, of the goodness. What did we sing? Of the goodness of God. And whether you like the little country twang they put in that song, the first time I heard that song at the end there, I'm just like, where's the banjos? You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, I come from a rap background. I like music that's poppy and edgy. And, you know, I had a senior project with a kid, a young man that was part of our youth group when I was a youth pastor in Franklin, North Carolina. And he had to have a mentor. It was a requirement. And that's how he got me really into techno music. And so we got downloaded this program, and we're going through this program as his senior project, and I'm his mentor who knows absolutely nothing about techno music. And so we build this complete song, or this complete, however, project we did from beginning to end. And I absolutely fell in love at that moment. I've always loved music, but I really fell in love with certain beats and sounds. Amen? How many of you know there's people out in this world paralleling that to the body of Christ? There's different people in this room. You move to the beat of different sounds. Come on, different beats. You move to a different rhythm. How many of you know when you go out of here with the love of God, this world, come on, it hears God's rhythms and God's beats, come on, through your life. Amen. And when we have a healthy soul, how many of you know your beat starts bumping like that techno song? Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. And then you start adding, and then you start building more into it, and then you listen to it at the end, and you go, like Steve Urkel, did I do that? Anybody remember Family Matters, Steve Urkel? Did I do that? So that's what I did. I was kind of like Steve Urkel at the end of this project. I'm like, wow, this is really powerful. So people are moving to different rhythms. Come on, they're out here living life to a different beat and a different tune. But how many of you know when you show up with God's tune and God's love and God's beat and God's rhythm, how many of you know people, come on, they may not want to know the religious God that a lot of people project, but they want to know this relational God, come on, this God Father who gave his son because he loved you and I so much. And then after he ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he poured out this person called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, come on, I mean, he's walking with us, helping us, leading us, and guiding us into all truth. How many of you know this morning your pastor got free right there just worshiping God? Come on, to my own rhythm, to my own beat, but it was mine before the Father. Amen. So your walk and Christian walk doesn't have to look like somebody else's. Amen. How many of you know you can glean principles? You can glean the word, but how many of you know your beat just might be a little bit different, amen, than mine and mine than yours? And is that okay? Do we have to look alike? Come on, church. Do we have to sound alike all the time? No, we don't. How no, we talk differently. But one thing is true. When we go out with what? God's love. When we demonstrate, what do? We demonstrate God's love. Amen. Why? Because the mind matters. Amen. And a healthy soul, come on, being led by the Holy Spirit is a powerful force for the kingdom of God. Amen. And you say, well, what are some of the issues we deal with? Let me just touch on a few of them. Mental and emotional health. How about stress? Anybody experienced that in their life? We have things in this world called bipolar and panic attacks and anxiety and depression and eating problems and phobias and addictions and self-harms. We have results of stress, tension in the muscles. We have headaches and breathing irregularities. Anybody ever experienced that? Artery inflammation, increased heart rate. We have gastrointestinal problems and diarrhea and constipation. You say, yes, I'm going there. How many of you know stress? I work for a gastroenterologist. And how many of you know stress can put pressure on you? Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to go there, but I could go there. Amen. And how many of you know there's results of stress could be depression, sleep deprivation. How about life pain? How about pains that people go through in life? Maybe physical abuse, sexual abuse, trauma, violence. So what do you need to recover from? What is it that people need? You say, well, I'm good in here, Pastor. Remember what I said at the start of this message. This message is for us, but how many know there's a world out there going through identifying with these types of issues? Amen. And they're matters of the mind, of the soul. And so what do you need to recover from? Maybe some of you, it's just overworking. Have you ever been there where you've just been working and working and working and working and working? Go on, and you are just worn to the numb, and you just need to take your Friday. Come on, take a $100 bill, put it aside, and put 20 in your gas tank, pay 80 for the hotel, and just get out of town for 2 days to do what? Turn off your phone, tell your friends, I'll contact you later. Do you hear what I'm saying? These are the things, I'm getting ahead of myself, but these are the things that we as the body of Christ know to do. But how many know there's a world out there that doesn't know how to turn their cell phone off? They're working and working and working and working and working. And working is not a bad thing, but how many of you know that when it leads to the point of stress, that's an unhealthy soul? Amen. And so you have codependency, hurtful relationships. Maybe you have folks that are overcoming grief, maybe guilt and shame and different things. So if you're taking notes, I want to make this point right here. Number one is that our loyalty to our future must be greater than our loyalty to our past. Let me say it again. Our loyalty to our future must be greater than our loyalty to the past. See, we have to be willing to let go before we can move ahead. And I know many of you are thinking scriptures right now, you know, and one of those we're going to touch on in a minute is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Amen. And so if you're taking notes again, our loyalty to our future, come on, must be greater than our loyalty to our past. Does anybody remember Tarzan? Anybody remember Tarzan? The old Tarzan movies I used to watch with my mom and my dad? And do you know those were actually filmed, a portion of those films were filmed in Ocala, Florida at Silver Springs? Well, that's where I grew up until I was 13 years old, and then when I moved here, right before I moved here. And so it was interesting, all these years I've lived in Florida, and we would go on the glass bottom boats, and my mother and father would tell me this is where they filmed Tarzan. And I'm looking at the vines and everything, and I'm like, I would not swing from that. But it's kind of like the Tarzan principle. How many know when Tarzan was going after Jane, or he was going to rescue another human or help somebody, how many know that those vines, he was swinging one to another? How many know he had to let go of the past vine so he can go to grab the one that's in front of him? Why? So he can continue to what? Move forward. Amen. And so some of us need to let go of the vines, come on, past, because you ever seen movies, and I'll not name them because some of them are so comical and funny, that we can stay on them for hours. But I've watched movie after movie where they go on these rope swings, right? And there's this movie called Grown Ups. I'll at least mention that part. Grown Ups, where they go to swim out. Come on, a group of young guys that were friends are now old guys and they're friends. And so one of them thought he was going to be cute, you know, like he was 14 again. And he went to go out over the water, and he didn't let go. And so he came back off the bank, and he smacked the tree and hit the bank. And then he got up holding his leg, and he was fooling his other kids, which were present, and they were laughing at him. And they stopped laughing because he stuck a stick up like one of his bones was broken, but it was just a stick, right? And he's like, oh, my leg is broken. And they're like, oh. And he just says, oh, I'm just kidding. And then his other son, after it's all funny, right, and everything as well, there's a little bird that he landed on had a broken leg because he was so heavy, right? And you say, well, where's the humor? Well, see, he didn't let go. So what he created in his coming back was pain, not just for him, but for others. How many of you know hurt people hurt people? Amen. And so when we let go of the past and move on toward the what? Future. What does God say? What is his plan? So until we let go, nothing is going to change. Amen. We've got to let go. Philippians 3:13 in the New Living Translation says, I have not achieved it, but I want you to underline this. I focus on the one thing. I focus on the one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. See, we have two primary choices. Number one, you can accept the conditions as they are, or accept the responsibility to what? Bring change. We can accept the responsibility, come on, the conditions, come on, that are present, or accept the responsibility to bring change. I don't know about you, but I desire change. If something is not working, come on, I'm not looking to go back. I'm looking to do what? I'm looking to go forward. How many know forward? Anybody watch the movie Meet the Robinsons? It's a cartoon, and it's a cartoon my son loves. And this kid would come up with design after design and creation after creation, like to build things. And he would have constant failure after failure after failure. How do you know failure is just a part of success? You're going to have failures. You're going to have times, come on, even in your spiritual walk, where you'll have failures. But that's okay. We get up and we do what? We keep going because that's just the part of the growing, come on, process. Come on, failure does not mean that you're not experiencing success. I've seen so many business ideas shut down because they've experienced, come on, one collapse, two collapse, or one bad decision, or two bad decisions, and they had a really good product. Has anybody ever watched Shark Tank on television, where people present their products and their ideas, and some of them are so good. Come on, and some of them come on the show, and you know they're going to shut down. Like, this is their last chance. You know they're going to give up. This show is it. If they don't get the revenue and the backing, their project is pretty much done and over. How many of you know there's some great ideas in the kingdom? And how many of you know a healthy soul, come on, what am I saying? I'm saying accept the responsibility to bring change. Failure is just a part of life, folks. Amen. And so we must believe that change is possible. You got to believe that change is possible. And God does not want you to endure the many years of life ahead staying in the same fate or condition. God doesn't want you staying in the same condition. Your Father wants to help you move forward, come on, and to create change, to create growth. God is interested in your spiritual growth. Amen. He's interested in the fact that you care about enough about your soul, come on, to spend some time doing what? Fixing it, repairing it, taking a vacation, taking some time off, turning off your phone. See, we're limited in fulfilling our outward purpose until we deal with our inward baggage. We got to deal with inward baggage. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, we're talking about today, we're going to talk about breaking taboo. You know, what is taboo? It's items that surround Christians and their mental emotional health. We're going to talk about breaking that taboo. Amen. And maybe this storm of life is, you know, this is said all the time in the body of Christ. I hear this all the time. I hear it, you know, you may have heard this, and I hear this statement. You know, maybe the storm of life is from God, and he is trying to teach me something. Have you ever heard that? Come on. I have. And I've heard folks say, well, maybe it's the way that God made me. Come on. God, he just made you inferior. No, he made you in his image. He created you in his image and in his likeness. Amen. And so that's why it's important that we renew our mind to the way that God thinks about us, right? So that when we walk through moments when we're down and we're out, right? And we need to work on this area called our soul. Come on, get meditation on the word. Turn off the phones, the televisions. Put your car in park. Quit getting running. Anybody ever remember when you got your first car? I do. The 1986 Honda or Toyota Corolla type car. Man, when I got that thing, you couldn't stop me from going. I went. My parents went from seeing me every day to never seeing me as a teenager. And I went hiking and biking and skiing. I was gone. But how many of you know going and going and going and going and going is not just going to replenish your soul? How many of you can go and go and go and go and go? I'm talking about finding rest. So it is, number one, it is God's will for us to be healthy. Come on. It is God's will for us to be healthy. Healthy. Spirit, soul, and body. And so this whole example of God must be teaching me something. I'm not sure why God would allow this. And unless this is something he wants me to go through, God is just trying to teach me something. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:23? We mentioned this earlier. Now may the God of what? Peace. Say that word. Peace. The God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body. Underline the word, be kept blameless until our Lord Christ comes again. Amen. And so blameless means without fault, without fault. And so depression, let me just make this statement. Depression and anxiety and fear and addictions are not from your Father God. Amen. They are not from your Father. God is a good, good Father. Amen. And so 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. It says, I have not given you, this is, come on, what the Holy Spirit is saying through the man of God. He says, I have not given you. He didn't say, I'm not giving them. He said, I'm not giving you. I have not given you or will not give you, nor have I ever given you, what? A spirit of fear. But God said, I'm giving you a spirit of what? Power, love, and grab this, a sound mind. Sound mind. See, wounds of the soul are just as real as wounds of the body. Come on. We magnify blood. We see blood, and you're like, that's blood. I need to go to the doctor. But how many of you know you could be cut in your mind, your will, and your emotions, your soul, just as deeply as a knife or something would penetrate the body? Amen. And what are we talking about? Matters of the mind. Amen. And so how many know lies and deceit and slander? How many know they penetrate? Selfishness, verbal and emotional abuse, misunderstandings. Come on, misunderstandings. How about this? Regardless of the cause. Amen. Regardless of the cause. Wounds cut deep and have profound, a lasting effect on the believer. Come on, church. We're not talking about folks that are in the world that don't have a covenant relationship with God. This morning, we're talking about believers who have a covenant relationship with their Father. Amen. That's you and I. Praise God. See, we attempt to spiritualize our problems sometimes. You ever do that? Come on, you over-spiritualize things and you make everything so spiritual. I've been there. I can elaborate on that for hours. That's why I love my father. I get around my dad for about 5 minutes, and you know what he does? He brings a 40-year-old man to his knees in about 2 seconds because he says, son, that's just really not that spiritual. Let's not make it that spiritual. It's not that deep. And how many of you know we need the wisdom of our fathers in our life? Men, come on, ladies, you need the wisdom of strong biblical mothers in your life. This is why we need, and the multitude of what? Counselors, there is safety. Come on, there's wisdom. There's provision there. And so you're not to allow everybody into your world. What are you to do? You are to have a distinct people in your life, in your inner circle, people that are confidential, people that don't talk your mess all over Jackson County, all over Buncombe County, all over Graham and Swain and Macon, people that get your back. You know what I mean about getting your back? I'm talking about really being there. And so my father would deflate me many times throughout 41 years of my life. He would say, son, it's not that spiritual. right? But we like to do that because it just there's like some relief to make this big thing that everything is Satan's fault, right? Everything is the devil's fault. Wrong. How many of you know there's some things that we can do as believers to put ourselves in a position, right, to have a healthy soul, to identify that, what, I need to think about what I'm thinking about, that if I'm going to doubt anything, I'm going to doubt my doubts, right? I'm going to starve my fears. So what are we doing? We're breaking taboo, the storm of life. Come on, is God trying to teach me something? 3 John 2 says this. It said, this is how God thinks about us. He said, beloved, I pray that in every way that you may succeed and prosper and be in good health. Listen, that's physically. Just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. John 10:10, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. The thief. Now, we've read this many times before. So don't hear this morning, but really hear it. Come on the inside. The thief, his purpose is to what? Satan's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich. Come on. God said, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. He said this. Grab this statement and underline it in your Bibles. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Did we see this in the life of Jesus? Did he give up his life for you and for me? He is a good shepherd. Amen. And just as the devil comes to attack you physically, in the 21st century, he has determined he can make a bigger mess in people's lives. Mentally, listen, mentally and emotionally. Mentally and emotionally. Amen. And so the presence of the storm, if you're taking notes, the presence of the storm does not negate the presence of God. I'm going to say it again. The presence of the storm does not negate the presence of God. This is actually the time when your Abba Father wants to step up to the plate. Come on. And he puts that Babe Ruth bat in your hand. And you hover over the plate. Come on. You know how you hug the plate. Have you ever seen men, baseball players, ladies? I've seen lady ball players and men ball players hug over the plate. Softball and baseball, high school sports. And they're like, pitch it, pitcher. Because when this ball comes, I'm telling you about where this ball is getting ready to go. There's an expectation. Yeah, I'm in a storm. But the presence of the storm, come on, we're down by 10 runs. It's the bottom of the ninth. Bases are loaded, two outs, but I don't care. We got one more out, but I think we can come back. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen. Psalm 23:4 says this. It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Grab that word or words. You are close beside me. Your rod and your staff does what? It protects and it comforts me. See, God knows everything about you and I, folks. He knows everything. And there's nothing you can do, come on, to make him love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make you, come on, make him love you less. Come on. Some of us think, well, I just need to do this and God will love me more. I need to get to church this morning, God will love me more. Come on, I need to get to this. I need to be here. I need to, come on. Why? Because the world is this way. Your bosses are this way. The world operates this way. Come on. You got a boss that's under stress and she's going to love you or he's going to love you when you show up on time. Why? Because they got a bunch of employees under them as managers that don't show up on time. So it produces a stress. So instead of as a manager just resting and the fact that I need to do some what? Self-study, some self-evaluation, work on my leadership, not tell everybody, come on, this is the thing in this generation. You need to work on you. No, we need to work on ourselves. We need to lead ourselves. We need to instruct ourselves. We need to lead. If you're going to lead anybody in this life, it needs to be your life. It needs to be you leading you. Amen. You need to feed you. You need to feed yourself on some leadership. You need to study the Word of God, not just the Word. How many of you know that there's a leadership guy out there by the name of John Maxwell that has some pretty good books on time management? Come on. He pastored Skyline Church for many, many years, and was a pastor. Now God put a gift on him, and whether you like his books or not, how many of you know there's others out there like him, spiritual leaders, Christian leaders, that are teaching principles, time management. Come on. Amen. Isn't it interesting that Warren Buffett has the same amount of time as you do? His money cannot buy more time. That's the one commodity that a rich person has. Come on, because we're rich in Christ Jesus. So I don't look at the wealth of this world, come on, over my Father. Because my faith can believe for anything at any time, God can make things happen for me. Amen. Come on, I've lived in code red in my bank account. Not on purpose. I had a transition. I had exhausted all my funds. Amen. Or I could stress out. Come on, get weary in my soul. Or I could do what? Come on. I'm in a storm. So what do? I press on into the presence of God. Again, there's nothing you can do to make him love you more, and there is nothing you can do to make him love you less. See, he loves Warren Buffett just as much as he loves you. He doesn't look at Warren as if he has so much money. Come on, and he's $30 billion, and you're paycheck to paycheck, or you have a couple million in some investments, or you're on your way to billionaire status. I believe that for a lot of people. Come on. Amen, and even myself. Why? Because I'm going to take the money, put it into the kingdom, I'm going to see God, I'm going to win more people to Jesus. Amen. So this is replenishing the soul. So do you think the way God thinks? Amen. How many of you know that prosperity isn't about a car or a truck? The blessing isn't about a car or a truck or money. Come on, the blessing, when I've had code red, no money in my account because I'm a child of the kingdom of God, come on, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The blessing of God is upon my life and upon your life. But do you really know that? And do you really operate in that understanding? And are you running into the presence of the Father? See, Psalm 139, I'm going to paraphrase it, says this, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart, listen, and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts. Even when I'm far away, you see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it. Lord, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of what? Blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will what? Support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To know the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you." Isn't that good? See, we need to know this. God is on your side, and he wants you healed and set free and delivered whole, well, joyful. Say this word after me. Say freedom. Freedom. Say it louder. Make this building echo. Say freedom. 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 Come on. If Braveheart can yell that in his movie, Mel Gibson, freedom. Come on. We can yell that. Come on, we need to wake up every morning and just yell the word, freedom! You know why? Even in the midst of the storm, because this is how God thinks about you as a son and daughter of God. He sees you free, he sees you whole. That's why the enemy wants to get you, come on this little bubble right here, and he wants you on your little island, just like he did Gilligan and all of Gilligan's islands in the episodes, they were shipwrecked. This is where he wants to keep you, on your island. And he wants you, come on, to have blinders on so you can't see that if you would just actually take a step back by faith and see the whole picture, and the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth, and he's just showing you, whoa, there's a whole nother room here. There's lights, there's building, there's a ceiling. Come on, you're seeing the big picture. See, that's the freedom that God wants us to live in, even in the midst of a storm. Come on, amen. So the whole idea here is what? We have to believe that. You got to believe it. This isn't just a message. This isn't just a message of what? Well, liberation, freedom, praise the Lord. No, God really wants us to live free. He wants us, not just Mel Gibson in the movie Braveheart. Come on, freedom. He wants you to live free. Come on, really free. And when you live free in Jesus, storms can be present. Things, anxieties, come on. We're talking about the soul. The mind matters. Amen. See, we live in a candy-coated, sugar-coated, it's okay, you're okay, I really don't want to hear about your problems kind of culture. That's kind of where we're at in our culture. See, in the church, if we allow the world to affect us, how many of you know that attitude will come right into the body of Christ, and then our words of what? No effect, because we're not demonstrating, come on, an iron sharpeneth iron moment. We're not demonstrating, you who are spiritual, restore. We're saying, I don't really care about your problems, dude. They're not that big of a deal. Come on. So are we steering our life based upon what we see and feel or by what we believe? See, that's the thing. Are we steering our life based upon what we see and feel or by what we believe? Do we believe something in it? Has anybody heard any word in here in your life? Have you sat in front of the Word of God? Have you listened to it maybe on television and radio, or maybe you sat in church and listened and you're like, oh, you get to a point where all you hear from the pastor is wah, 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 wah. Come on, stir yourself up. Shake your body and say, body, you're going to listen today. Come on, hand, you're going to take some notes. You're going to hold a pen. You're going to produce some notes that when I walk out of this service, I'm going to reread them, and they're going to affect my life. I'm going to meditate. Come on, I'm going to Romans 12, 2, this word, when I go home. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to ponder on it. See, there's this taboo again thought. Never let them see the real you. We've talked about this before, where we've talked about a mask. And some of us, you've been really hurt. And so here's what I say to you. Let's stop pretending and break the silence and isolation. Stop pretending. Stop pretending. Be open to talk about and discuss problems. Listen, I've got issues, you've got issues. Let's get with right mentors and right leaders. Come on, let's get in the Word of God. Let's get with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Let's talk things out. Let's get with some trusted advisors, spiritual, come on, people who know the Word. I'm not going to just anybody. Do you hear what I'm saying? We say, well, I don't need it. Well, get before your Father. Get before the Word. Come on. And let God see the real you. And you start being open with your Father. Here's what happened, folks. You know what happens? You start walking out of that secret place and you start being real with people. You start being open with people because you just don't care anymore when people say things that are hurtful. You just kind of sidestep those hurtful thoughts and you just don't give place to those anymore because you've allowed the enemy, come on, to take over your soul for so long in the past that it's time, like Tarzan, I'm swinging to the new vine. I'm not getting hinged and held up here. I'm not coming back to hit the bank, and I'm not looking to break my leg and fall on a bird and have people laugh at me. I'm going forward. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so it's okay not to be okay. We need to let our walls down. If you can't even let your walls down in the house of God, where in the world can we let our walls down? Where can we let down things? Come on, our hair. Come on. Amen. See, Satan would love to use this against you for the rest of your life. Just stay to yourself. They can't help you. No one can help you. People, come on. God's children don't understand what you're going through. That guy up there talking on that blue jacket and that microphone, he copies and pastes his sermons every Sunday. He doesn't study. He's just trying to throw you some self-help stuff. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? But this is a mindset in many places. You know, there's much preparation that goes on when a service happens. Why? Because we prepare our hearts as a staff. We know that when our soul is unhealthy, come on, there's nobody getting saved and born again. You know why? Because we're so focused on me and mine and I and my introvert and my problem that I'm not thinking, God, I hear you, but I really don't want to do that. Does this resonate? Listen, I've been there. So let's stop pretending and break the silence. See, Satan works in the shadows, guys. Satan works in the shadows. God works in the light. God works in the light. Romans 1:12 says this, when we get together, it says this, Paul said, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. See, when I get together with my brothers and sisters in here and we have meals together, listen, I'm not here just to encourage, but I'm also here to be encouraged. Come on. You have something to give. Now let me say it again. Pain, hurts, things that we're going through. Come on, bring it out in the open. Because Satan likes it when you're in the shadows. He loves that. But see, God works in the light. Come on. And so we're going to wrap up here in a second, but I want to say this. Luke 1:79 in the New Living Translation says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. Those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. So there's times in our lives where you may have blind spots, the things that we don't see but others do. And that's what's the cool thing about getting around others, you know. And this whole idea that Satan likes to use about being perfect. We're not perfect, church. We're not perfect members. We don't have a perfect pastor. But we are created in his image and likeness. And when I see him and you see him, Don, he doesn't look at every fault that you make and every bad decision. He helps you with those, but he sees you through the precious blood of Jesus as free, as redeemed, as whole. Amen. See, he looks at the things that we're going through and he says, I can help with that. Come on. Don't live life in the shadows. People need to be done suffering silently. Come on, this silent suffering, that needs to be over with. And so in Jesus, we can overcome this. Do you believe that this morning? In Jesus Christ, come on, he's already given us the authority and power. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's given us everything, every tool. Amen. But see, Satan wants to keep us in the shadows. So too many people feel ashamed or embarrassed being a Christian and dealing with this issue. Talking about Christians. And so here's the lie. You're the only one that's going through this. You're the only one that's going through this. Anybody ever felt that way? Come on. This is the lie. Barb, you're the only one going through this. Come on, financial. You're the only one going through this. Physical. You're the only one going through this. And that's why we don't need to live life in the shadows. We need one another's encouragement. So look at everyone else in the church. Come on. None of them feel, think, process, battle, struggle with the things that you do. Nobody will understand. Look at one another. Look, just look around. Come on. See, I'm preaching this, and you're like, well, that's just absurd. But this is how the enemy wants you. He wants you to look over and be like, man, Jesus got it all together all the time. No, Christ has it together all the time. And I'm in him, and he's in me, and he helps me keep it together. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not trying to, see, this is when you can tell believers trying to live life on their own without Jesus after Jesus, come on, did all the work and the Holy Spirit has lifted people up and gave them revelation knowledge and helped them. And what happens? I'm going to tell you what happens. They walk away because they know too much. They know more than everybody else. They're experientially discerned. Come on. And many other reasons. And it becomes, well, I know more than you do. Come on, I know. And see, that's another place the enemy likes to keep us, in the I know. But see, that's also living lives in the shadow as well. I know. Come on. You're not telling everybody that, but we need one another, folks. This is how you can help produce a healthy soul. Cultivate friendships. Cultivate relationships. Amen. Let me say it again. People need to be done suffering silently. See, when you get together with friends, you know what it does? Here's what it does, is it helps expose, come on, some of those shadows in our lives, and the revelation from another brother and sister in Christ can say, hey, man, I'm not looking to fix you, but I am here to listen and help you any way I can. Do you understand this? Sometimes all people need is you to listen to them. And you're thinking, Pastor, I need that right now. I'm in here right now, and you're telling me to do this for somebody else, and I need this right now. If you'll begin to step out of yourself, out of the shadow, and start doing for others, you know you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. When you plant that into another life, come on, you will reap that into your life. Do you understand? Amen. People waiting. There's people in this room, I just know in my heart, you're waiting on people to come to you. Come on, begin to, when God puts it on your heart, come on, there's somebody that's going through something. They just may need you to be there for them. Be there for them.